invite you to have your churches of Edinburgh open. Go to the Edinburgh Catechism, .641. You can find that on page 892 of your churches of Edinburgh. Edinburgh Catechism, .641. I will read the questions and you can respond by reading. Question 108. What is God's will for us in the seventh commandment?
When it comes to adultery,
When it comes to sexual immorality, the best defense against it is to run from it, is to flee from it. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon this evening. God wants us to flee from sexual immorality because our body is meant for it. We'll see that under 2 points. Our body is meant for Jesus. Our body is meant for the Holy Spirit. Let us consider the first point of the sermon. Our body is meant for Jesus. Apostle Paul, he begins in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Another way of saying it is, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And we need to know, why is Apostle Paul talking like this? What does he mean by this? You see, in the first century Corinthian church, they were struggling with a lot of sin issues. They were struggling with pride, especially spiritual superiority over one another. They were suing one another in public courts. They were abusing the Lord's Supper, especially sexual immorality. The Corinthians were so strongly influenced by their cultural standards and their societal norms today that they used their Christian liberties to not only excuse sexual sins, but even participate in sexual immorality. In such a scenario, in such a situation, Apostle Paul, just like he said in the Galatian church, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. He tells the Christians in Corinthians, just because everything is permissible for me, doesn't mean everything is beneficial. In other words, he's saying, do not use your God-given liberties to indulge in flesh. Do not use your God-given freedom to indulge in any type of sin, especially sexual sin. And the second part, when Paul says, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything, he tells us that in your pretense of using your Christian liberty, do not become slaves to earthly things. Do not be dominated by the things of this life. Liberty and freedom. These are beautiful things that stand out about our Christian religion compared to all other false religions in the world. The true religion, Christianity, allows for more freedom, it allows for more liberty. Consider an example of Islam. In that religion, you need to enter the restroom in a certain way. You don't even believe me if I say that. Like, you need to pee in a certain manner. They micromanage stuff. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is not about rule keeping. Christianity is more than that. It's about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And our God, in His wisdom, He gave us general principles that covers all of life. And in every century, God's people, they had a choice of how to use their Christian freedom. And we can ask all, and we can ask ourselves these questions. Am I using the freedom that God gave me to serve His people or myself? Am I allowing the culture, the society, and even Hollywood celebrities to set the standard for my living, especially the way I look, the way I dress, and the way I carry myself in front of others? Am I properly using my Christian liberties, or am I misusing it, abusing it, And more importantly, as Christians, we need to have this presence. Are you, in the name of Christian freedom and liberty, are being enslaved by the things of the world? Brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of song do you listen to when you drive in the car, either to grocery store or to work? Are they songs that we can sing together as people of God, as Christian men or women? Are they songs that are so vulgar that you can't even read the lyrics without blushing? The scripture tells us, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And in verse 13, Apostle Paul says, food is meant for stomach, and stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. What does he mean by that? Paul, after talking about how you use your Christian liberty, is turning his attention how to use the worldly things properly. He says, Christians, all our earthly things, they are temporary and they are passing away. He expands on this concept, especially in the next chapter. If you have your Bibles open, please look with me, chapter 7, verses 29 to 31. He says, this is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has gone very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Yes, the food is meant for the stomach, but in the world to come, both food and stomach will pass away. We, as Christians, we have a higher calling, and that's why the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul's emphasis here that do not be too immersed in worldly things. Do not be too consumed in worldly things. And more importantly, know that your body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The word sexual immorality used here comes from the Greek word porneia, which also can be translated as fornication, boredom, and unchastity. Our Catechism, it uses the word unchastity. And as I told you earlier, during the time of Paul, sexual immorality or unchastity was the rule of the day. It was no big deal when someone engages in sexual activity outside of marriage. And oftentimes, as Christians, we forget what happened in the first century AD. Think about the first council that happened in Acts 15. What do they tell the newly converted Christians? Do not commit sexual immorality. Think about the church in Parliament in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus warns the church for tolerating sexual immorality. Think about the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God calls them not to commit sexual immorality. And finally, think about the church in Rome, in Italy. Romans chapter 1. Paul tells us about the sexual perversions that were happening there. So in the ancient world, there was a lot of sexual immorality. In this context, Paul tells the Corinthians, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and for the Lord the body. Because it is God who planned, and it is God who determined your height, your skin color, and it is God who knit you in your mother's womb, and gave you life. And it is God who strengthens you and sustains you. And this God will strengthen you and sustain you even in eternity. And that's why what you do with your body matters. Because God will raise it up just like He raised Lord Jesus. Here is the strongest reason to flee sexual immorality. Because your body is meant for Jesus Christ. And God cares so much about your body that He will resurrect your body just like He resurrected the body of Jesus Christ. And just in case you have forgotten that already, He places a great emphasis. He places that our body is meant for Christ. And in verse 15, He tells us, "Do you not know your body are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of prostitute? Never." We as Christians should cherish this wonderful truth of union with Christ. We are not only united with Christ, the feminine spirit, Christ shares our humanity. We are united with Christ in our bodies too. And that's why the resurrection of the body is even more joyful. As the Apostle Creed says, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." God will raise our body just as He raised Christ's body from the dead. And that's the reason that we should flee from sexual immorality. Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you here, after taking a shower, would like to go and wallow in the pigs in the mud? How many of us here, who after swimming in Lake Michigan, or even in your backyard in the swimming pool, would like or love to swim the cesspool of your house? Should we then do such a disgraceful thing of taking the body of Christ and united with the prostitute? Scripture tells us, absolutely not. May God forbid. That's why God calls us flee from sexual immorality. Sadly, we live in a culture that is similar to the time of Paul. In our day and age, it is okay to have premarital sex. In our day and age, it is okay to live together without being married. In our day and age, it is okay to get attracted to the same gender and give in to homosexuality. But the scriptures clearly tell us all sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. And as the catechism says, that God condemns all unchastity, and we should therefore detest it wholeheartedly and live a decent and chaste life within or outside of holy, safe marriage. As Christians, our body is meant for Jesus. That's why we run from sexual morality. Let us consider the second point of this moment. Our body is meant for the Holy Spirit. The catechism says, "We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both to be clean and holy." And verse 19, Paul asks us this question, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Again, what a glorious truth that should make us flee from sexual immorality. The Old Testament times, temple is a place where people gather and worship. And in the New Testament, especially in John chapter 2, Jesus makes Himself, He tells this body is the temple. 3 days you destroy it, and 3 days He raises back. But in the epistles like Ephesians and Corinthians, it comes the final culmination. Now temple refers to all believers, Christ Jesus. brothers and sisters in Christ, remember when you bought a brand new thing, how hard you tried to keep them clean and spotless. Think about the new car that you bought. Think about the new dress, the new shirt, the new pen. And also think about the amount of time, the amount of energy and resources that you spend to keep your house clean. If we spend so much time and energy to keep our earthly things that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more we should try to keep our body holy and pure? Because it's meant for the Holy Spirit. And the Catechism rightly points that out, and that's why God forbids all unchaste actions, looks, talk, thoughts or desires, and whatever may incite someone to them. Catechism is clear about that. And again, sadly, we live in a fornicating culture. We live in a pornographic culture. We live in a culture where sexual immorality is celebrated as a virtue. You see that all the time on the television. You see that all the time in the movies. Young men, young women, the Bible tells you, flee from sexual love, from youthful lust. Why? Because your body is meant for the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The scripture calls you, do not breathe in and do not venture. It matters to God and it just matters to you the way you look at the opposite sex, the high school or the grocery store. It matters to God and it just matters to you the way you talk and how you interact with the opposite sex at your workplace. It matters to God and it should matter to you what you look on your smartphone, what you look on your laptop, and what you do with your social media. And some of you, you need to start playing with sexual sins. Brothers, please pay attention. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? The scripture tells us, so is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. And I'm sure we all know what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. And again, there are two great examples in the Bible for us. One, a great example, another one, a bad example. Think of Joseph. Think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. He fled from sexual immorality. And God praised him for that. On the other hand, we have King David. Think about it. 2 Samuel 11. Not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, went on to kill that guy, murder. Scriptures calls us flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside his body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And Paul gives one final reason that why you should flee from sexual immorality. In fact, that's an extension of the argument that your body belongs to the Holy Spirit. It says, do you not know how God made you the temple of the Holy Spirit? How he made you his dwelling place? It was a costly enterprise for him. It costed him his son's blood. Yes, you are purchased not with perishable things, such as gold or silver. You have purchased the precious blood of the Lamb of God takes away sins of the world. If you are here today, this evening, struggling with sexual sins, struggling with sexual addictions, know this, Christ Jesus, He has shed His blood for you. Adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, and all unchastity can be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Scripture tells us that you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when the Son sets you free, you are free. Therefore, flee from sexual immorality, knowing that your body is meant for Jesus, knowing that your body is meant for the Holy Spirit. So glorify God in your body. And finally, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us flee from sexual immorality, for our Lord, for our body belongs to the Lord. Let us flee from sexual immorality, for we are members of Christ. Let us flee from sexual immorality, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let us flee from sexual immorality, for we are not our own, but belong both body and soul to our faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us flee from sexual immorality, for we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful for the wonderful truth that our body is precious to you, and that you have redeemed us by the very blood of your Son, and made us the temple of the Holy Spirit. May our union with Christ, His death and resurrection, along with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, would make us always to flee from youthful lust and to flee from sexual immorality for the good of our soul and the glory of your name. In Jesus' name.